Okay, we're beginning on the top of page Chav Zayin in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. And the Tzaddik told us yesterday that Lutzado says that if you really want to look at what the foundation of building up our perfection requires, that a person has to spend an hour a day, focusing on what does God want from me, thinking about what did the tzaddikim do that made them so beloved to Hashem, and where he's holding in life, those types of questions. Basically, he's spoinedus, and all these reflective things to think about every day for an hour. And he impressed upon us how important that is, and how very few people do this, and that's the difference between day and night. If you can be able to work and be successful in your shleimus, in your completion to Avodas Hashem, or not be successful. So, we just started yesterday the next part in this chapter that's dealing with a clear decision that you want to fulfill the words of Lutzado. So we're at the top of Chav Zayin now. Adam and Nase Lahashlois es Atzma b'dimyonoshov. A person will try to put himself at ease with false illusions. And he'll say, for example, Shaydei sheyikra bereshis chachma eitza kazu uba'orchas tzadikim eitza acheres yochel iskadeim. He thinks that if he reads various holy works, like the Reishis Chachma Sefer, or the Orchos Tzadikim Sefer, which deals with Midos and deals with all kinds of important things. These are all nice pieces of advice of what to learn. He will be able to proceed further in his life. And people delude themselves into think that this is what's going to work. Lo sha'etzas ein nechonos. Not that this advice isn't good and proper. Kol etzah shel kol tzadik v'tzadik hi emes lamita. Every piece of advice that a tzadik gives is a true piece of advice, and they have the appropriate time and place to be learned. Avol imeinas habasis. But if you don't have that foundation, as osa shah achas shel hisbainus b'chol yom, of that 1 hour of reflection every day. If you don't have that as your base, then kol ha'etzas hein bebechinas binyan ha'perech ba'avir. Then all the advice could be categorized as a structure that is firmly planted in the air. That is flying in the air. A structure that's flying in the air. So, you know, that can explain why we could learn a lot of Sfarim and not feel a change. A massive change, because we don't have this foundation. Kol echad yasa cheshben nafsha mekadosh baruch hu. Everybody should make this soulful calculation with Hashem. V'yachlid ha'im ba'emes roitza hu lios eved Hashem. He has to decide once and for all. Does he truly want to be an eved Hashem or not? O she'elu diburim ba'alma. Or what you are saying is just talk. And that's all. Is it just talk? Or do you really mean it? If the desire is true, then you don't wait another 3 or 4 days. But he accepts upon himself every day without making a vow that he will clear out 1 full hour a day from everything he's engaged in for the goal of his bainanus, for the goal of reflection. If you really want this. Now, of course he understands. Uva emes kol echa tarid binyanov. Everybody is busy with what he's doing. Kachu bedera klal matzava shalotam. This is the general way it is of people. Avol ze gufa nisayon shalotam. But this is the test of every person. Will he turn an hour for this every day or not? One needs to know this hour is the bird of the soul. I guess it's a mystical term or something or whatever. What he means to say is It is the foundation of the living soul of the person. It arouses the soul to attach itself to its creator. Lo yazru alfei sichos, lo yazru svarim, lo yazru mamorim. Thousands of speeches aren't going to help. Books aren't going to help. Talks and discourses are not going to help. Imarim lo mamin lo ramchal shazu haetza shetikarev himself. A person does not believe in Lutzado's advice, that this is the advice that will get him close to Hashem. Kol nisyayne shuminasa livnos al das asma. Any of the tests, anything he tries himself to build on his own, kashim ma'od shiviyohu lemes. It's very hard to bring a person to the truth. So you got to be honest with yourself. I mean, this is a very difficult parak, because I'm afraid some people are going to say, forget it. I might as well not be frum anymore. Might as well not come to this class anymore. Might as well not learn Torah anymore, because I'm not going to do this hour. So, you know, we'll have to give heart to this. Have to think about this. Gam, okay. So gam kishiyach, even when a person decides, he's going to accept this upon himself. Yedi should know ki kol ascholos kashos, that all beginnings are difficult. Vim yeshnam nefilos, and if there are failures along the way, chas v'shalom melehi shaver, God forbid, it shouldn't break you. Al yesh lechapes eitzos, you have to find solutions. You got to find suggestions, advice. V'od eitzos, and more advice. Ketzad kein lekayim es hashozu, how a person can find that hour. If he doesn't succeed today, lo yisyai, shouldn't give up. Elianasa shuv machar, but try again tomorrow. Kikisha adam yodea, because if a person knows, shibinakuda zu tluya kol nishma sachaim shalo, if it's in this point that his entire neshama depends on, it all hinges on this, because this is the foundation. Varak kach yiska liskav the kodesh brachon, that's the only way you can merit to get close to Hashem. Hulo boreach me'anakuda, he will not run away from this point. Whom is chazek bo, he will strengthen himself in it. Va'oiches bo b'chol mechir, and he will grab onto it at any price. Hu yisyaitz, he will ask people's advice. Yishol, he'll inquire. Yivar, and will clarify. Ma'osim mechir, what do other people do? How do other people spend an hour on this? Ve'echei maslichim, and how do they succeed? But one thing will be clear to this person. From this point, there's no way I am not going to move from this point. As the author said earlier in the first book, he says there has to be some things in life where failure is no option. Failure is no option. You cannot have that as an option, that we won't succeed in this, we don't succeed in this, we don't succeed in life. Right, so that's, and I know nobody does it, but then again, not many people get up at 6:15 either. Right? Not 6:15. Yeah, a lot of people get up at 6:15. A lot don't get up at 5:45. That's what they should say. Right? So, so that's what has to be clear to the person. So, a person has to make a resolution. Okay, I'm not saying you're going to be making this in the next day, because you're going to have to find a way to change your schedules and really convince yourself how important this is. But there has to be a way to find that hour that you can make it. Many places, you know, like the Breslovers, they do it the hour before davening. Before davening, that's when they do it. They spend an hour before davening. It makes a lot of sense. It should be at the beginning of the day. You'll see. He's got more things besides this hour in line for us in the next chapter. So we got to not be overwhelmed over here. Anyway, before you make a decision if this is for you or not, the obvious question is bothering everybody. What in the world am I going to do for an hour? It seems like a big waste of time. Remember, I was speaking to somebody recently during the Shiva to person, and I was trying to explain one of the aspects of, one of the lessons of Purim, you know, is that, again, besides the problem we talked about yesterday of just being able to be alone with your thoughts, which is such a hard thing, there's another thing in Judaism, which is the primacy of process over product. That in Judaism, it's the process that changes the person more so than the product. Not to say that we're not trying to produce, as we are trying to build a building. Of course, we're trying to build a structure. But it's the process that's critical. The person has to be engaged in the actual activity that is required. And the more you're involved in the process, you know, that's where the real growth is taking place. You will get to that product. And that product will give you great satisfaction knowing that you've built the structure. But it's the process that's so critical. You know, there's a lot of things we get involved in and, you know, we don't quote-unquote succeed. But as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, the work is large. The workers are lazy. The owner, the boss, is pushing us. Right? But there's a lot of work that has to be done. But then the next Mishnah says, just because there's a lot of work doesn't mean you're free to do it. And it's not your job to worry about completing the task. So just because you can't complete it doesn't mean that you don't start the task. And you know, it's in so many ways. You know, well, isn't the goal that Mashiach should come? If Mashiach has come my lifetime, it was a failure. No, Mashiach is coming based on your little contribution, everybody else's little contribution, and that process of bringing Mashiach closer, that's everyone's little job to do. A lot of times people don't want to get engaged in activities until they think it's really something that they're going to finish and succeed in. A lot of times you work on things and you're not going to succeed. It doesn't necessarily mean you're meant to succeed right away. The story with Mordechai and Esther, the product was not a very good product for them. They were husband and wife before the Megillah, but they weren't at the end of the Megillah. People don't realize that little detail in the story. Since she had to succumb to Ahasuerus in order to help the Jewish people, she was forever forbidden from her husband. So she never was again with Mordechai. Mordechai, who had a higher prominence in the Sanhedrin before the Purim story, had a lower prominence after the Purim story. So what's going on? You know, well, it just proves the Machalowitz adage. No good deed goes unpunished. But it was the process. It was the process of saving the Jewish people. Even though your own product might not be what you were hoping on getting. A lot of times you try to be makar of somebody, spend hours and hours and hours and hours, and then it just doesn't go. It doesn't go. You invested hours and hours. It's not your problem, but you were the better person by working through that process, by going, being involved and digging in the trenches. The process is critical. And we're all so worried about the product, it scares us off many times of trying it. Many times we could really succeed. Or even if we're maybe not meant to totally succeed, but to make the effort. See, again, after 120 years, Hashem's going to ask us, did you try Lutzado's method or not? No, it was too hard for me. I'm not going to bother. Hashem's going to say, you didn't even try? You didn't try? Well, you know, it was too daunting of a task. So Hashem said, I told you it's not your job to finish. It's just your job to try. That's all. And you'll find out that many times you're able to finish projects if the problem we have often, and this is a problem that we're finding in many realms, is that people are thinking too much. We think too much. We're already thinking 5-6 steps ahead of the game to see, is it going to work or not? And if I don't think it's going to work, so why should I bother trying to begin with? You know, this project called the Jewish people has not been a very logical project from the beginning of time or not. If you ask Avram Avinu, do you think it's a worthwhile project to start a Jewish people? Saying, you know, it's going to come from you, it's millions and millions of Jews. You know, we need millions of millions to change this world. Avram knew that. And he knew he was never going to get more than a few. So he should have given up. I mean, like what was his big success at the end of it all? You know, he works on being Makar. He had no Baal Tshuva stuck with him at the end. Not a one. They didn't know. Where were they? All we have is Yitzchak. That's it. There's nobody. Well, Nefesh Asher Asa Bacharan, all those people, where did they end up? Nothing. We don't know nothing about them. It's nothing. Right? So he ended his career a failure, if you were looking at it from a business perspective. Okay? So, if you go for fundraising nowadays, Avraham Avinu, I'm fundraising for a new Kiruv organization called the Jewish People. How much money do you have? So let me ask you, Avraham, how's your track record been over the last 34 years? How many Baal Tshuvas do you have? None. How many branches do you have around the world? One. My tent. Okay? So what am I giving you money for? Because I'm trying. I'm trying. And then at the end, his portfolio was, I got one, my son. And my other son I couldn't even get. Couldn't even get Yishmael. But I got my son. So you got one. Well, that's pretty good. You doubled. You doubled. You know? So no fundraiser could have offered him a nickel.
And his wife, too.
And his wife. Okay. Yitzchak didn't do much better. Also got one. Got one. Yaakov, okay. He got 12. So by the end of Sefer Bereishis, we got 70. You wouldn't get a lot of funding for your project. They all died, you know, on paper, from a business perspective as failures. And then we ended up in Egypt. You know, okay, we finally got some people, and then they all became secular. We lost 80%. Whatever we got, we lost 80%. This is a mamash, that's a terrible organization. They don't know how to, they can't keep their members. Like, what's wrong with them? Why should we be supporting them? Why should we be supporting them? Finally, get out of Egypt. Hashem says, okay, you know what? I know you've been a pretty lousy failure. You know, all you have at the end is 600,000, a couple million. And for all those years, it should have been a lot more. Okay, but you know what? You tried so hard. Okay, we're going to give you Kriyas Yamsuf, blah, 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 everything else. You know, and then they fell some more in the desert. Okay, it really is an abysmal track record for the Jewish people. From a product perspective. From a process perspective, there was immense things that happened. And that was the cultivation of the Jewish soul. That was a process that was going on. It was a process that was changing us. Changing Avram qualitatively to be a holy chariot of the Almighty. And Yitzhak and Yaakov were chariots of the Almighty. There was not another human being in the world that was a chariot of the Almighty. So we're very much a process nation. Of course there is product at the end, but not everybody is going to merit being there at the final product. And none of us has made it to Mashiach yet. Right? So if that's what you're looking for in the religion, you know, you're going to be very disappointed. There is process, there is quality, and that's where the difference is made. And therefore, such a project, you know, and I think we look at a lot of projects, we just don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. It's too daunting. I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't be religious. I can't do all these things. I'm never going to. And we don't really seriously start these projects. So we have to get out of that routine. That's a problem with shidduchim now, with the younger people nowadays. You know, I don't think the marriage will work. Why bother getting married? I think a lot of people who are unfortunately, more so in New York, but who have developed this attitude. They've accepted the fact. They've come to terms. I'm not going to find the perfect husband, so I'm not getting married. That's it. Because I know my parents got divorced. My friends get divorced. I don't want to get divorced. See, but it's not your job. Hashem said you have to get married. That's all. You have to get married. You have to try. Not such a good shidduch is better than no shidduch. People don't realize that. Not such a good shidduch is better than no shidduch. No shidduch is a failure. I'm not saying you're trying and you can't get it. That's not your problem. But people, it's an attitude. People want to get married. They don't like me or whatever. Hashem is not making it come right away. Okay. You want to have children, it's not coming right away. Okay, it's not your problem. But this attitude that I got my list, and when all 732 items on the list are the perfect match, then I'll take the big risk and I'll try to get married to that person. It's not going to go. It's not going to go. So the same thing over here, as daunting as this is, and I know no one's going to figure, it's no way I have another hour in my day. You're going to see, he's going to say, he's on top of what you're already doing. You can't cut back. So we'll see. But that's how, what he's saying. You got to take this very seriously. And what's more difficult is, but I don't even see how this is going to help me. You know, at least if I could see how this is going to help me. This is what he said earlier in the first book as well. That's why God always does it. You don't, if you knew how good it was, there'd be no test to it. Right? If you knew how good it was, you know, it's no different than a person's out of shape. It's funny, you know, I was when I was in Detroit, so it was almost like a Tells reunion. And then, you know, I realized how many guys from Tells, you know, have connections to Detroit and this and that. You know, so you meet the guys, and I met one of the guys who was like one of the coolest guys in yeshiva, like one of the really cool guy. And then I saw him, he like, his momish, like overweight, like crazy. You know, like he must be 300 pounds, and it doesn't look like a healthy. And he's my age, you know, but of course he has a skinny wife. So I don't know how that works out. And I say, the guy, vice versa, he likes the finer things in life, you know. And I said, that probably could have been me. That could be. I have a great appetite, you know. This vort that my future in-laws made. I mean, she's like a gourmet baker. You know those fancy cakes. She made it all herself. She and her husband. They made it all themselves. And like, there must have been a trillion calories in that house. A trillion. Like, unbelievable. Cholesterol heaven. One cake looks better than the next cake, you know? It was like, unbelievable. And I think, boy, if my Yetzirah was unbridled, this would have been, take us back 25 years ago, man, I'd be in Olam Hava, I would be devouring these cakes. And it like, I said, I ain't gonna touch a one. I said, I just wanna have some normal lunch. I had a piece of fish they made and I had one little piece of Yerushalmi kugel. Okay. But these other chevra, they were dumping it in, man. You know, it was like, okay, after we finally came home, I said, okay, I'll take a little taste. It was like unbelievable. It was like just unbelievable. Like, you don't have nothing in Toronto that compares to this. But looking at this guy, and he's packing it in, man. You know, and because, you know, and I go, and I say, you know, I said, Baruch Hashem, I took care of myself. And I have a big yetzer not to take care of myself. If you see my bar mitzvah pictures, man, the plump chicken ready, the plump turkey for Thanksgiving. If you see my bar mitzvah pictures, how overweight I used to be. It's like, so, but I'm saying, you know, why I'm saying, and he's a smart guy. He was a smart guy, he was a successful businessman. I say, why is he so stupid? Why is he so stupid? He's gonna kill himself. I mean, this is like his mom. It's like he's gonna kill himself. Yeah. Now go tell him. Go know the pleasures of being healthy. Right, doctor. Explain to somebody the pleasure of being healthy. Right. They can't understand it till you're healthy. Right. You can't get it. Right. That you can get up. You have koyach. You have vim and vigor and all these things. Although every minute you're in the club, you hate every minute of dieting, right? But when you feel the benefits are okay. But the guy doesn't feel the benefits till you get there. And if I don't feel it, why should I do it? So that's the same thing. We just don't sense the benefit here. So I'm gonna what? I'm gonna think of God all day for an hour? What a waste. I could be learning Mishnayos to elevate somebody's soul. So what do you mean? I could be learning Prakim of Mishnayos. I could be finishing books. But that's all nice things to do once you're spending this hour. Once you're spending this hour, yeah. So go put a chart out in a shiva house. Who's going to commit to do his Hispaninus for an hour a week? You know, what are we going to make a siyam on? Nothing. But you're going to change your life. but it doesn't sell. It doesn't sell. Nobody's, it doesn't have a geschmack. It doesn't have an excitement to it. We don't make a siyumar in our neshamas, but we do make a siyumar in our neshamas. When we leave this world, we're going to make a big siyum. And the question is there going to be a siyum? You're going to come to Hashem, oh, I finished all these mishnayos. What about your neshama? Did you finish the structure that you were meant to build? I never made a siyum on that. It's not good. But it's not attractive. It's not attractive. So, anyway, I appreciate how difficult this is. And how impossible it is to find the time. And how Lutzado doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, that's the first answer. Well, in Lutzado's time, they didn't have so many, time pressures as we had in our time, which is nonsense. They had more time pressure in his time than in our time. Remember, they had to wash their own clothes, make their own food, make their own bread, run away from anti-Semites who wanted to kill them. Minor trivialities of life like that. Right? Well, we have all the modern convenience that anybody could ask for. But that's, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But anyway, that's the next thing he's gonna tell you what to do in that hour. At least you get some kind of framework, and at the end, you're still gonna say, I still don't know what to do in that hour. But you'll have an idea. You'll have an idea. Yeah, questions.
So three quick questions.
That's the end of the class. go ahead, it's fine. Go ahead. You're right, it should be more. It should be more, but at least 1 hour.
But why is an hour magic? What's wrong with 15 minutes? Or why not wrap up?
Because there's a certain amount. For example, why is Shachar so long and Mincha so short?
You're starting your day.
Okay, whatever, I'm just saying, but there's a, when you invest, and you have to invest an appreciable amount of time in order for something to really make an impact. Because Hisponenus takes a lot of time till you get into the zone. You just can't turn it on. It's not like REM. You know, okay, I'm reflecting. I'm connecting. It takes time to get there. And Lutzado, who is a genius of the soul, he says, I understand it takes an hour to really get yourself into the different zone, so to speak, and to be in that zone for a while, and for that to be an appreciable, to make an appreciable impact on your psyche for the rest of the day. See, that the problem is we're in the fast industry now. Everything's gotta be quick. You know, make the presentation fast. You know, bottom line. Process isn't bottom line. Process takes time. Lutzado's really saying it really should be 2 or 3 hours. Okay, but I have to have rachmonis on you guys. Okay, it should really be the whole morning. That really should be. Okay, I have to have rachmanis on. You guys got to work, make a living. Okay, only an hour. But that's not real. It's like the bare minimum.
So
maybe
that's
it's like a process. You know, let me give you a different example. This is what men are challenged with. Spending time with their wives. That's a challenge. It's a challenge. But more than that, it's like talking to their wives. Okay, dear, I got 15 minutes. Let's talk about the day. You know, sometimes it's just a question of being together for a certain amount of time. It's the time being together that the bond forges stronger. And you need, and again, there's this business like aspect. So what's the product? What are you producing? So can't I get that in a few minutes? What's I was saying, to achieve this, you can't get it in a few minutes. It just doesn't come. It's going to take an hour. He's going to then say, and you got to keep going back to that throughout the day. It's not just the hour. The hour is the base from which the rest of the day is going to keep coming back. So you need a solid, solid base to be totally in that zone. Okay, so otherwise, it's not going to make it. So the same thing, you know, in a relationship with a husband and wife, you know, okay, we spend 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes there. There's sometimes you got to spend an hour. You got to really spend that time. Now, this episode exactly, you know, when you're in that zone, you'd understand why. If you'd be in that zone, you'd know why it takes so long. But we're not in the zone, so we can't even begin to explain why it takes that long. But here's the expert who's done it.
So once we learn what you're to do in that hour,
yeah.
What would you tell somebody who said, okay, Rabbi, I'm going to do that from 6 to 7 a.m. instead of 4 a.m.?
So that's a great question, the million-dollar question. So the first thing we would say is, cut out a different hour in the day. Cut out a different hour in the day. You don't have another hour in a day. You gotta really. This is, you know, like you, you know. For example, let's say you're an accountant, and you're telling your client he's got to cut expenses. I can't. He says, you have to cut expenses. If you don't cut out whatever, $1 million of expenses, a multi-million dollar corporation is spending millions. If you don't cut out $1 million, you're just not going to make any profit this year. What am I going to... You got to find to cut it out. So the same thing, you got to cut down on your expenses of time. You've got to find a way to get rid of an hour somewhere. You got to... And there are ways. There's nickel and dimes. There's 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, but you got to add them all up. And find a way. The easiest solution that I see is going to be that you're not going to like. You're not going to like it at all. Because you got to start an hour earlier today. You got to. Now it's very doable. You know, I'm telling you, it's very doable. There's times when I'm up at 4 o'clock for days, you know, and then sometimes you just go to bed earlier. Okay, so there have to be some trade-offs. There has to be some switch. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going to ask me. Well, if you're going to the Rambam class and that ends at 10:45. So the earliest I can be in bed is 11. That's the earliest, right? And I can't make it being up at 5 o'clock. All right, so you know, you're going to have to learn Rambam a little earlier in the day. You know, but the easiest solution, because generally speaking, the nighttime, unless you're learning, is not a productive time. It's not a productive time. I know people say people are night owls and things like that. And if you're a night owl, then spend the hour at the night. But generally speaking, if a person, let's say, I don't know what you do, person goes to bed at 11 and gets up normally at 5:30, right? So you get to bed at 10 and get up at 4:30, you know? And you can, I'm telling you, you can learn, you know, there's so many things that you can shorten and abbreviate. For example, if you're a mother or a wife, you know what? You don't have to make the fanciest dinners. Dinners can be made in well, not everybody relates to that, Jeanette. You know, I know my daughter Cyril now, like she mama spends hours preparing dinner. She just started. It's like she makes her own tomato sauce, But you know, then things move along but a lot of times you want to make a fan, you know, certain times can be cut down, certain things can be adjusted, and you can, you know, let's say one spouse is busier than the other. You know, sometimes if you're working, your spouse isn't working. But you throw some chores on the other spouse. You have to balance it that the time is more. I'm not saying it's easy, but you have to find a way to cut an hour out of the day. And, you know, it's possible. It's possible. It is really possible. We just have to cut out. You know, we all have, not all of us, but those have their little Irish kite, and you know, it's not wrong. A lot of things, I'm not saying we're doing it wrong, but you know, let's say you like to go on the internet just to see some interesting things, whatever, interesting things, you know, and it's not wrong. Certain things you're seeing, you know, it's interesting, you know. Oh, let me see, but just don't. You don't have the time to do it. If you go through your day, you'll find out you don't. First of all, Shabbos for sure you could do it. It's like not a shiloh Shabbos. There's so much time on Shabbos. An hour on Shabbos, an hour on Sunday, it's not a shiloh. You know? And okay, start with one day in the week so that you can do it. Slowly, slowly, you'll find that during the day, you can alter that schedule. It is possible. When, you know, some people, you know, if you have a lunch hour, I know, Shelley, you work through lunch and you don't take the lunch hour.
Or work out.
Whatever. You work out. Working out is important. I'm not saying you got to cut the working out. But, you know, and you got to daven to Hashem to help you find that hour. Got to daven to Hashem to help you find that hour. And you got to be able to find a way to you know, the kids are growing up, Shelley. They need less and less of your time. They do. You know, and Baruch Hashem, you're getting into a tkuf in your life. You're getting into a tkuf in your life where, like, so what do I do? You know, I'm not saying that you waste your time, Chas V'Shalom. But you know, another for you specifically, in another, what is it, 3 years? I mean, both kids will be in university, right? Or in Eretz Yisrael or wherever. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble, but they're not going to need you so much, you know? I don't want you to feel bad, you know? They always will need you. They always need you, but you know, they need a check, you know, and that kind of stuff. But believe me, what as soon as it's like, you know, hi, Dad, bye, Dad, you know, okay, Friday night dinner, and you know, that's a wonderful. And Baruch Hashem, that's what we raised them to. So there is more time. There really is. There's less laundry to do, less this to do. There, you know, they you know, or you give them some of the work. You know, you say, you know, the rabbi wants me to learn more. You know, you guys got to do the laundry now. You guys are going out and horsing around. You got to do your share of the laundry. What do you got? We got to do all the laundry. You got to do some of the laundry. I'm just saying, you could find it. Again, I'm going to use this example. I hate to bring it up, you know, but Howard had to find hours to take care of his wife. You know, Howard, his biggest issue in life always was he never had time. The business always took so much time, and he always was totally controlled by that business. We all know it. That was always the issue. The people work there are so incompetent and I have to be there. All of a sudden, God makes his wife sick. All of a sudden, he's got hours in the day. What was he going to say? How are you going to find the hours? What am I going to give up? What am I going to give up the things that are less important in your life? He worked less. That's it. You know, if let's put it this way. All of us are a little bit, some of us are a little bit afraid, you know, how do you know something like that's not going to happen to me or my wife or someone like that? Well, there's always one good way to make sure that you're less likely to be a candidate. Show God you don't got the time for this. In other words, you know, there's all kinds of calculations God makes, and I don't want to be at all the advocate for what God finally decides, and I'm not being a judge on anything here. But whenever God makes a judgment, he takes everything into consideration. Could be even after everything is said, there still has to be a gzar din. But he takes everything into consideration. And one of the things he's going to take into consideration, how much of this quality time of this person is going to be lost because of this? Right? So if you daven to Hashem and you say, Hashem, you know what? You told me I need an hour of hispondus now. I'm going to do this and you got to help me find that hour. And that's probably the best insurance policy. You're not going to spend hours every day in a doctor's office. If all you're telling, God, I'm too busy. I have to work. So God says, you know what? I don't care about your work. I never cared about your work. I mean, a certain amount. But and now you're just going to take, you know, you're going to do what you got to do. I think the best hedge against, God forbid, God wasting many of your hours, somehow important those hours are to you. And part of the calculation, let's say Hashem sees you're spending an hour a day on this. He says, you know, this is really important. This guy's on the tracks. He's really, I can't go make his wife sick. He's going to lose this. And that much of the judgment isn't on them. Let's say, you know, there's an idea when Reb Chaim Shalevitz talks a lot about this. When God makes a judgment, he says, everything else has to fit with that judgment. Everything has to fit with it. Let's say God says, this person's supposed to get a sickness. But that's not enough. Then God says, well, okay, does he also deserve that this should happen and that this should happen and that this should happen and that should happen and that this should happen? Reb Chaim, for example, is an example. What are the best, one of the best things, again, after all is said and done, God can still say it. But you got, as they say, you gotta do what you can do. He spoke before Yom Kippur. He said, you get judged on Yom Kippur. What's one of the best things you could do to, at least within your power, to give yourself the best ability to come out of Yom Kippur with a good gzar din? Is to have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. Why? Because if you're going to suffer, your friends are going to suffer. And maybe they don't deserve to suffer. And that would be enough to stave off the judgment. A person with no friends at all, so you go with what your judgment is and that's it. You have no friends, you don't have any business with nobody. No one's going to feel bad that you get sick. No one's going to feel bad when you lose money. So now you're going alone in your judgment. If you do well, fine. If you don't, forget it. What if you're a guy you don't do well, but you know what? So many people care about you and so many people love you. So then you're so indispensable to so many people. Then all of a sudden, God has to think twice and three times and reevaluate, and sometimes that saves you. Not always, because we know there's people who are very valuable that doesn't. It must have been a much stronger judgment. And there's things beyond. We're not talking about punishments now. We're not talking about people being bad. So if you got a lot of friends, then God's gotta reevaluate the global judgment, and your private judgment gets part of that more global view. So the same thing, if Hashem sees that you really are using your time in incredible ways, that's a good hedge on your bets. That it's a good thing to have in your pocket. That God's not going to have to make you waste your time with other things. I think that's one of the biggest lessons we have to learn from what happened, you know, with what's going on, is to say, you know, God can, all your plans, you don't got time, I'm going to show you how much time you got. You can spend hours going to doctor's offices, this and that, and spending hours looking on the internet, looking for a cure, all these things, and you told me you never had any time. So it's a good thing for us to say, you know what, this is so, if Hashem, this is life and death. It's life and death. I gotta make the hour. It's not a question. And it's not that I learn less Torah and I learn less things. You got to do this. Now, if after all is said and done, and you, it's impossible to find that hour, then maybe you have to get into this instead. But you see, that's not going to make sense, because the whole point of this hour is to then be able to focus on the rest of the Avodas Hashem properly. But if there's no more Avodas Hashem, then it's not going to work either. So it really is no option. There is no option. And we have to daven Hashem. You have to daven Hashem to help you with this. Imamish got to daven Hashem. That's one of the, every day you got to daven Hashem. Help me find an hour. Help me find an hour. And okay, I don't think anyone's going to start it tomorrow, and I don't have any expectations they're going to start tomorrow. And we still didn't even finish the parak. So that's why I've gone slow on this parak, so we can kind of digest this, because it's hard. Well, you had a third question, Shelley. You only asked two.
Three.
Oh, what's three?
If I had an hour, why not ramp up?
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Okay, so we'll continue. Tomorrow we'll discuss what is it we actually do in that hour.